The conference will now begin.
Okay. I hope this is okay. I think this is on. Scott, thank you. I think this is working. I'm not sure. Okay. If it's not, then somebody will call me, I guess. Okay, let's learn. Run Das Mi Desechon on page Kuf Aleph on the bottom. Now we're learning the sugya of the midah of koshi, of kashius, of harshness, hardness, that manifestation of the yisod ha'afa. That like all others, there's a positive gilui of this midah of koshi, and there's a negative. We were talking about ezek kenegdo, how that is in relationships and particularly in marriage. But in general, we've been learning that koshi always comes as a result of there being some hisnagdus, of there being opposition, In a positive way, we learned at the end last Shia that the Jewish people are referred to by Chazal as Azin Shabu Umais, and in the Torah as Am Kshei Erev. In other words, we have this stubbornness that we're prepared to say to the whole world, we don't care what you think. We are who we are. And it doesn't make a difference to us if everybody disagrees with us. That's a koch of hisnagdus, of koshi, in Kedusha. Obviously, the other manifestations that we were talking about that could be terribly destructive, coming out in personality in many ways, in relationships in many ways. But what's the tikkun of this aspect of often? So we're going to go through, Rav Schwartz goes through the tikkunim with mayim, with ruach, and with eish, with the other yesodas, how to work on koshi, this midah of koshi that comes from afar, how to work on it in such a way that we're able to use koshi only in a positive way. We're going to discuss things like leva evan. What if a person feels that he's insensitive? He has what is described in the Navi as a heart that is of stone. Was to see, God forbid, to see other people going through difficulties, and that it doesn't affect you, because the heart is suffering from an imbalance with the yisod ha'ofar that has made it hard, kasha. So we need to understand the tikkunim that come through the other yisodas. So let's learn. On the bottom of page Kuf Aleph, ha'tikun ayidei yisod ha'mayim. So beginning with the tikkun for koshi with the yisod of mayim. Kol ofar hu kosher b'tivai. Ofar is something which is hard by nature. Kasher shevchem mayim al ofar, when you pour water onto the ofar, ofar misrakech, then it softens. Bofen ze mufka koshi shabofar, and in this way you could remove the hard texture of the earth by mixing it with water. Offer mitzad atzma hu kosher. Offer itself is on its own is hard. Hayidei yisoid hamayim, however, by mixing it with water, a little bit of water, That's what he says in the brackets. It was obviously if you're going to flood it with water, it loses its identity altogether. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about changing a person's identity. We're talking about softening the hardness, not making making you into a mush, which is not who you are. So, we're talking about moistening the offer, to take away some of the hardness, the harshness of the offer. That's a tikkun. We're not talking about transforming. We're talking about fixing. Fixing is not to convert. Fixing is helping to bring out what's good. Who hafach b'yoslach, right? So it becomes softer. It becomes more liquid. After the bracket, zu havchana achas shatik nakayish shibisad ofer mitzad amayim. Physically, that's how you take away some of the hardness of the ofer by mixing it with water. Page kuf base. Havchana nosefes. Achas mishloshes remidis, he says a very deep yisod over here. We've spoken about in the past, but the way he frames it in this context is really something special. Achas mishloshes remidis shatar nidreshes behem hi hekesh. One of the 13 ways of learning Torah is hekesh, exeva shav is hekesh. And hekesh, of course, means to take two things that on the surface might seem to be disparate or different and to show that really they share qualities through which we can make a limud from one to the other. So hekesh. Now, the word hekesh has in it, of course, kasheh. But he explains, Sham ein kavanas adava kaishi. Here we're not talking about the usual definition of kaishi, ella shehishtavu zelazet. This is the key. What's fascinating is the same word kasha that we've been learning, that we've been talking about, that same word in the form of hekesh means that I take two things and I show how similar they are. I equate one with the other. That's a medamim oisam, mashkem oisam. I'm equating the two that until I did that, they were going in different directions. And now I showed, no, look, these share similar qualities. There are some differences in chitanias, but the hekesh, that limud, shows that nobody can learn one from the other. The underlying yesod is really one that is the same, that is equal, just on the surface looks a little different. But there's a hekesh. Hekesh imkein hagderoso hashva. Therefore, the word hekesh means hashva. Hashva, making things equal, making things balanced and equal, comparable. Koshi hagderoso hisnagdus. Now, the koshi, very often, we've seen this so many times, very often in Lashon HaKodesh, you have one word that means that thing, and it means the opposite. So here's a perfect example. On the surface, these two are very, very different. Hekesh means getting things to work out, showing how they're similar. Koshi, we learned, is hisnagdus. Where does koshi come from? I'm very different than you. I'm sorry, I can't agree with you. I can't get along with you. That's koshi, right? Or if there's something you don't understand. So you think mathematically. Someone is talking in a very, very non-mathematical way, and that creates a koshi for you, or vice versa. You're very not mathematical, and someone's talking mathematics. There's a hisnagdus that's very different than you, your way of thinking, and because of that, you say, zekasha, I don't, it's hard for me, I don't get it, I don't know what you're talking about. So, two different people have very, very different personalities. Zekasha. They don't usually, work out with each other because there's a koshi that comes as a result of the differences between them. Zekasha. And they don't understand each other really well because of these differences. On the other hand, hekesh means similar. It means that I'm I'm finding the similarity. I'm equalizing the two. It's just the opposite. Koshi comes from hisnagdus, that feeling of the two different. And Hekesh is saying like this, no. You have differences, but the underlying yisod is the same. They're the same. Now, very often, we get thrown back when we see the external differences. We get thrown back because that's what we see first. And if we're being superficial, of course, that's what registers, is what we see. And on the surface, these two people are very different. And as a result of that, kasha. But then sometimes, then you have another one of the 13 meters, then you have somebody else that comes along and says, one second, you two. Now, a good marriage counselor can help with this, or a good friend can come along and say, hold on. These differences that you have between you that are tearing you apart have blinded you so much to a much deeper thing that you share in common. There's something much deeper that in that akuda of depth, you're like twins. Obviously, every Jew is like that. So this one's an Ashkenazi, this one's a Sfadi, this one's a Chassid, this one's a Misnagdi, this one's a whatever, Taimani, this one's a Moroccan, this is a Hungarian, this is a Galician. All of these things create on the surface many kashas. There's a kasha. How could it be that a Litvak and a Chassid should get together? How could it be that a Hungarian and a Galician, how could it be all these differences? But then somebody comes along and says, it's a shtiyot. It's a shtiyot. I'm going to show you the hekish. It's a low kasha. The koshi comes as a result of not getting to the hekish. But for instance, if you're in an airport, and God forbid there's some kind of an attack, or you're in the market, there's some kind of an attack, and the only two Jews in that place where there's, God forbid, an attack, one is a chassid and the other one's a litvak. One's a lubavitcher, the other one's a leikuda. So what? So at that moment, there's an inyan between them, there's a koshi. No, the two, they're going to hug each other and try to save each other's life and run off and do what they can with each other, like there's no one else in the world, just the two of them. This Lubavitch is bashing Lakewood for 20 years, and the Lakewood guy's bashing Lubavitch for 20 years. And that, because it's kasha, he can't live with Lubavitch, he can't live with Lakewood, it's shtiyot. Unfortunately, the scary thing now, I made a hekesh between them. The hekesh is, we're brothers in a much deeper way. We're the children of Avraham Avinu, and we're brothers. We're mitzvahs, 98% everything. So there's some differences in philosophy, but we're the same. So that taking two things that appear to be different, which creates all kinds of dilemmas, kashas, questions, and hisnagdus, the ability to find the underlying shorish that joins them together, that process is called making a hekesh, or, as we see in many of this one, it's called hishtavus. Hishtavus. There's a verse from the Satmar of Susi Yohanan on the pasuk that we say all the time, and it's written in every shul, Shivis Hashem Nagbison. So Shivis Hashem Nagbison, that's what Rabbi means, that Shivisa comes from the word Shaveh. Shaveh means when I live with every moment of my life with that thought that Hashem is Lanegdi, some, that Hashem is always here with me, then Shivisa. I come to a place of Ishtavas, meaning I don't get scared, I don't get depressed, I don't get nuts about things. Shaveh. Ishtavas. Ishtavas in Evish means I don't get thrown off course. I don't get derailed by things that seem to things that seem to be challenging or frightening. I deal with them, but shivisi. Hishtavus nefesh. I don't start screaming. I don't start crying. I don't get carried away. Shivisi. Shaveh. Hakol shaveh b'shuli. Why? Because Hashem is l'negdi samin. Hashem is l'negdi samin. Someone was just telling me there's a chevra that they send out these messages every day. And the fellow that started told me that an example of one of the messages, that each one every day thinks of a different message. And he sent the rest of the chevra. So I saw something he liked. So I forgot the exact question was like this. Don't think about how big your problem is and how small Hashem is. Think about how big Hashem is and how small your problem is. And that if Hashem is Lenegdi Somed, I think I might have gotten it wrong, but that's the idea. If I think about Hashem as Lenegdi Somed, so, you know, everything becomes equal. It's the great equalizer. Like when you, like imagine you have 10 people are arguing and learning. They're fighting about a sugi in the Gemara, right? And they're going back and forth, And then all of a sudden, Rav Chaim Kanievsky walks into the room, right? And here they have this screaming, you don't know what you're talking about, you don't know what you're talking about, they're fighting. And all of a sudden, when Rav Chaim walks into the room, Shivisi, it's a great equalizer. In one moment, everybody becomes a student, right? They're all equal now. Even this one's smarter, this one's not so smart, but now they're all students because now the king came into the room, the king of learning came into the room. And then everything, all the kashas, everything, hakol mishtaveh. I know this is clear. It's a little bit hard to explain, but that's the yesod. So he says that, hekesh emkein hagdiroso hashru, koshi hagdiroso isnagdus. Hekesh means to show similarities, to equalize, to equate. Koshi is just the opposite. Koshi means it's not this. Kan gonus tikun yisoda ofer mitzvah koshi shabo. So now we're beginning to come to discuss the tikun of the yisoda of ofer and how to break up the koshi and to make the koshi, to make a hekesh. From the koshi, from Hakasha to make a hekesh. Let's understand this. Mitzad hakilkul sheyisod ofer kasher v'enenem u'uzan nachon, yesh no koshi sheshoshu b'snagdus. When there's a kilkul in the yisod ofer, then there's that koshi. Remember, the texture of the ofer is hard. And when something is misnagid to you, either intellectually or emotionally or whatever, so then that hisnagdus creates a koshi. But through water, there can be a hekesh or a hashfum. Now, what does that mean? Through water, there can be, in terms of our avoda, what does that mean? That there's a hashra, there's a hekesh. So listen. Zeb etzem ahevdo ben yisoid ha'ofer v'yisoid ha'mayim. The roim is those bebirur b'metzius. The difference between the yisod of ofer and the yisod of mayim, we see clearly. Ha'aretz ha'ofer nivra ba'ofen sheyesh ba'harim u'gvos bika u'shvela gevayim shonim u'mishunim. When you look at the earth, the earth was created in such a way where there are big mountains and valleys and all kinds of different shapes, right? When it comes to the earth, to ofer. Ofer has mountains and valleys. All different heights, whatever, big, small, shonim u'mishunim, all different shapes and forms when it comes to offer. Zui tsuras teva b'yas offer. That's the nature of that b'riya that's called offer. Sh'olav nemar ki offer ato vel offer toshuv. Regarding which it says, you come from the dirt and you're going to return to the dirt. Because there are many, many different people. In this world, there are mountain people, there are valley people. There's all different types. Hamay after the bracket. Hamayim lumazais. Water is just the opposite. Tamid oimdim b'tzura shava. The teva of water, of course, the property of water, is that it's always equal. That's how you measure things, right? Water always returns to that place of being shava. Hem la'olam lo yikablu shtei tzuras. You can't have in the water. You could have a wave. That's not the same thing. But in that water where it is now, that water when it's not, when the wind is not, the water itself there's no such thing as high mountains and valleys. The water is always, the water is not makabel tutsuros. The water is not makabel tutsuros. It can't receive. It can't, that same body of water cannot have two shapes. Eli yishayu tzura achashav. It always stays one shape. One tzura. Zechok kelim shluvim. Shamayim la'olam yigil la'osan akudagol. The kudas go. Water always, as you know, the property of water is that it always returns to the same. The kudas go the same height. So it's always across the board. The water is the same. If there's some reason why there's a place where the water is lower, it's because there's a valley. But otherwise, in the same place, the water is always equal. I don't really. I'm not a handy person at all, but. But you know, when you want, because my father used to use this sometimes, it's called a leveler, you know, right? When you want to see something's totally straight, like a board, isn't there a little water inside?
Yeah.
Right? Because water is always looking for that place of shaveh, of being shaveh. That's why the leveler works really with water. That's how it works, to find that makom ha-shaveh, that when the water is settled, zo, you got the. And you came to something that's totally straight, shaveh. Nothing high, nothing low, flat, straight. Zeh koch hamayim. That's the koch of water. Shemashvim es hakoshi sheshorsho b'hisnagdus. The root of koshi is hisnagdus, where differences, opposition. That's the root of koshi. Water erases all of that. Water erases all of the, like what happened by the marble, the mountains and the valleys, garnished. Water is the great equalizer. Hisnagdus neitzeres machmishadvarim enem shalim zelazeh. The cause of hisnagdus is inequality. The things are not the same, they're not equal, they're not shavim. And that causes hisnagdus. Hahekesh mashos. The hekesh equalizes them. Umach misayosam shavim, once they're equal, shuv ein b'am koshi. Then there's no koshi. It's not hard. There's no kashis. It's not hard. It's really the basis of all lumbus, of learning, of understanding what you're learning. Is to be able to make that hekesh, to come to that. Where it seems you could have two opinions, and these two opinions just seem to be like in a violent machlokes. And if you're able to find the Yisod HaMayim over here, then you get to that Nekuda HaPnimis that says, no, really, they're not arguing. Or this is the argument. The argument is about A, B. But the truth is, that in a deeper sense, they're both saying the same thing. Whatever the machlokes is, it's a machlokes of something on the surface. But in pnimius, it's the same. That's really the basis of learning. That's how we learn. Or you could say, no, these are two absolutely disparate opinions. There's, you know, Beshame and Besolo are disagreeing, and it's an essential hisnagdus, right? And that creates a koshi. And the yisod of Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Kimchayim, that both these and those are the words of the living God, also says that the same Torah that is true can have in it two different opinions, just like you could have Ashkenazim and Sfarim, because it's all Torah Hashem, it's all Ratzon Hashem. That's why the Torah is called water. The Torah is called water. Of course, there are a million kashas. Every block of Gemara, you got 1,000 kashas. And two people sit together, chavrusa, they're fighting with each other, arguing with each other. But essentially, they're seeking to understand God's Torah. And they're trying to come to, they can have a difference of opinion to say that. That's how we learn. When they're different people, so there are mountains, there are valleys, that's fine. But at the end of the day, in Shemayim, both Reuven and Shimon, who were screaming and yelling at each other the whole day, both of them spent an entire day learning Teres Hashem. Learning Teres Hashem. And the fact that they disagree is well, these and those are the words of the living God. Same thing when it comes to Hasidim, to Misnagdim, to Sfaradim, and Ashkenazim. That's the water. Elu ve'elu, elu ve'elu, elu ve'elu, both these and those. On the surface, what do you mean? The Sfaradi puts tefillin like that, and Ashkenazi puts them like that. The Chosid and the Misnagid, the Chosid Davin, this Nusach and the Misnagid Davin is that. But then the Mayim, the water of the Hekesh, erases, I shouldn't say erase, shows that the underlying similarity is infinitely deeper than the superficial differences. That's what the water does. That's the tikkun of the Yisrael of Ofer. He explains this more. That's what the Chavis Lavavis calls this midah of hishtavus. Adam kosh lekabel davar. Now, the way the Chavis Lavavis talks about it is in terms of a person's midas. Okay, so let's say you're having a discussion or an argument with somebody who's kashe ma'od. He's a kshe'arev, very strong offer, very hard-headed, very stubborn, very, very stubborn, will not let go of his opinion. He has a tsura, in other words, this is what I think, this is who I am, and lo mekabel shum davar. He's not hearing. He's not listening. This guy will always have a lot of misnagdim, because he's got his inyan, and anything that's different, he rejects. Kasher b'shulo. Koshi. Everything is kasher. The Chavos Lovitz talks about l'odom kosher l'kabel dover kasher yesh lo satsura shulo as kosher lo l'kabel tzura like this. When you have your own tzura, you have your own way, it's hard for you to hear and to be makabel another tzura. So marriage is a very, very difficult thing for this type of a guy who's very, very strong with this offer. It's hard to have a marriage, like we were talking about last week. So many of those women, I'm just using that as an example, could be the other way too, but many of those women will just learn, you know what, the safest thing for me in this house, if I want to have shalom bayis, is to just agree to whatever he says. That just works best for me. Because I tried when we were first married to express my opinion. Again, this could be the other way too, I'm just using. I tried to express my opinion, but it always created tension and outright muhammas. So many of the women, they just say, you know, or the guys, they just say, forget it. There's nothing to do about this. Is this? I'm married to a mountain, and he's not moving. And I just better agree. Like, you know, I just have to agree with everything. Because if I don't agree, it's not good. It's just not good. Because he's not makabel another tzura. He's not makabel it. He has his own tzura. He has his own way of thinking. As kosher lekabel tzura negdis. It's hard for him to be makabel an opposing tzura. It's hard for him to be makabel. Sometimes when this person softens up, it gets older, God forbid he goes to tragedies, so then he could begin to, you know, he could start talking to him about other ideas. But as long as he's healthy, he thinks that he's in charge, so that midah of offer, the yisod of offer, and that koshi with this person makes it almost impossible for the spouse to really get his or her point across, or to have something different. Everything has got to be this way, because he's not makabel the other way. So there are millions and millions and millions of marriages that are like this. One of them just, and then you'll always have the mountain saying, if it bothered you, how come you didn't tell me? So she says, I didn't tell you because it wasn't good I could tell you. Because I tried telling you in the beginning, and then I learned that all I got back was anger and attitude, and it wasn't good I. So I pretended for the past 50 years just to smile and to agree. You know, inside of myself, I've had a million opinions not like yours, but just was not kedai. Didn't work. So there's this midah of hishtabus. If a person shifts over from Koshi to Hekesh, from Koshi to Hishtavus, this person doesn't mean he doesn't have his own opinions. He has his own opinions. But he's able to lahavshid kol tzur, he's able to take off that tzura that he's wearing. Well, kabal kol tzura, he's able to hear what someone else is saying. Again, he could disagree, but he's able to give it a chance. He's able to hear it. He could take off one tzura, well, kabal kol tzura. Bein shum davish misnagin elav. He lives a life without misnagin. It's not a life of koshi. That's a life without his snagdus. Doesn't mean that he gives in to everything. That could be a terrible kilkul. He doesn't want to have his, so he comes someplace without wearing yarmulke, so he takes his yarmulke. That's what we're talking about. I'm talking about losing, again, we're not talking about losing your identity. That's not what we're talking about. Lahavshit sura, that for this moment, I'm able to get out of my tzura to hear what the other tzura has to say. To hear it. Not to live. I mean, obviously we're talking about a mitzvah of humility, of ayin. Not to live in a constant state of warfare with everybody who disagrees with you. Lahav shit tzura. L'kabo kol tzura. It doesn't have to even be between people. It's just like a person that the person himself is the sort of offer, koshi, is to be inflexible. Inflexible. What that means is it doesn't have to adapt between two different people. Within yourself, but you have a certain habit, whatever, and a way of doing things. And a number of people have pointed out to you that, you know, there might be a much more effective way of getting this done. Or maybe instead of staying up late at night and you're barely able to concentrate and you're falling asleep over the Gemara or the Sefer, maybe you should try to change your lifestyle and instead try to get to bed by 10:30, 11 and get up at 4:35, you know, instead of the 1 o'clock in the morning, because when you were in the, you know, when you were a kid, try to change. So some people can do that midlife, the Lahav Shit Tzura. They could take off the old Tzura from high school, from college, or being up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, when they had the energy, maybe the way they were able to function. They're able to, but for the past 20 years, it has not worked for them, the 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning thing. And to put on a new Tzura, what's the new Tzura? It's called Hashkama, early riser. So when you have a big gush afar, a real afar guy, a real like, you know, hard guy, so you could talk to him from behind his board and say, you know what, in the morning it's mechai, it's quiet in the world. You're not really getting phone calls at 5 o'clock, 5:30. You know, it's mechai, and you know all the tum of the world didn't get started yet. It's quiet. The bechal can't hear it. The answer is, my whole life, I'm getting up at 8 o'clock, whatever. I go down someplace at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's my whole life. He can't be mafshit that surah. He doesn't have to take off that surah and to put on a different surah. Because the offer is so strong, man. He's stuck, mamish, in certain on August, that by this point in his life, it might have worked for him in the past, but at this point, they're not working. I'm 100%, my wife always tells me. This is this Indian of inflexibility that, you know, and all the years, I'm not ashamed to say, because this is a very big avoda for me in my life, that I have certain, you know, that even before, you know, before there was such a thing as ways or all that. So we would have all the time in the car, I would say, this is the way that I've always gone to this place. And my wife will always say, well, why don't you try something else? Because it looks like there's like 2 hours of traffic here. Maybe we could try to drive around and do something. And I said, I'm always, this is how I go. And that, there's an inflexibility that obviously it plays itself out in many, many things in life where a person cannot be mafshit tzura. I've often explained that there's a famous Torah, I don't know how famous it is, but it's a very beautiful Torah that the Gemara says at the beginning of Sukkah, the mitzvah of Sukkah is same Diras Keva, go out from the permanent dwelling and go into a Diras Aroi, go to a temporary dwelling. And the Izbitza says that on a deeper level it means you have your Diras Keva. That's your, like, you know, the way you were raised or the way you're set in that place, that stone. The meaning of a Sukkah is like sometimes just get out of that place and, you know, and temporarily there's a Diras Aroi there for now. It's not going to be the way that you expect it. It's not going to be the way that you want it. It's not that way. All the years, there was something on Erev Shabbos that came up, like Erev Shabbos, especially if it was after Chatzos, that to go to the store or to go take care of something, I would have like a nervous breakdown. I'd have a nervous breakdown. But Erev Shabbos, after Chatzos, to go someplace. And my wife would always say, as a general rule, okay, so you stay put and not asking you to go onto the airplane to fly somewhere, Erev Shabbos, Erev Chatzos, but, you know, you could go to the grocery, you can go to the drugstore. Nothing's going to happen. There's, you know, Shabbos is not till 6:30. So what are you stuck? Like, why are you stuck? No, because there's, you know, all the halacha and emotional things, that it's like this whole upheaval to do something different than you're accustomed to doing. On a very basic level, you're in this place of afar, kasher, koshi. This is who I am. This is how I do things. And unless there's going to be some water that's going to mix into that, we'll see what the water does in a minute, to soften it, you could be like the most inflexible, stubborn mule, mamish. And even though someone will reason with you and will say to you, Rabbi Shalom, Shabbos is not for many hours, you're still having this emotional trouble dealing with doing something that's not the way you're used to doing it. So it's not just between people. This koshi affects a person himself. It's an inflexibility. It's that if something is different than the way that I'm always used to doing it, then I feel the hisnagdus. When you have a person that's very flexible, it's case by case, you know. Not because I have this in me. It's case by case. This is something which it's not a misnagit to me, or it is a misnagit in this situation, but it's not, it has to be this way. Why? Could you explain to me why it has to be this way? You have parents that they're raising the kids in a way that's killing the kid. The kid is getting killed. And they could hear 1,000 schmoozing, 1,000 lectures. Their wife or the other one, the husband, is begging and crying and explaining everything in the most rational way, how this kid is dying from this. I had this conversation with somebody last week, that there was a parent that's so hard on the kid, and the kid is going like off, not much off. The parent doesn't even know because the kid was telling me what he's up to, and you tell this parent, like, you just got to back off. It's not working. He starts to tell me, that's how my father, that's how I was raised, and I don't see anything wrong with it, and talking to me these new things about, I said, I mean, you're watching your kid go off the cliff. His mom's going off the cliff. You already see that he's just not on the program. You're so hard, you can't consider that maybe you need, with this kid, I don't know the other kids, but with this kid, stop your old way of doing it. Hafshit Tzura. Take on your wife's way. Your wife's way is with understanding, with patience. Take that Tzura off. It's not working. No. Huh? Yeah, sure. Because you made a point that this is correct, and you base your entire existence upon who you are, based upon this successful thing that your parents did, which might not have been successful, or if it was, it could have worked, you know, 40 years ago, but it's not working now. It's not working now. I get parents still telling me. And I always say to the parents, I said the same thing you did when my kids were little. I know. I made that mistake. I know. But and I'm telling you, it's not working over here. I'm a Bami son. I'm not telling you like I'm better than you. I'm telling you, I did this. I made that mistake. It's just not working. It doesn't work. It worked when we were little kids. It's not working with these kids. What worked years ago doesn't necessarily work now. Koshi, he can't consider the other way. The other way is such a misnagid to him. He sees it as being the enemy, the opposition. Even though you're telling him, I'm trying to help you, that this could save your kid's life. I'm not your enemy. I'm not saying something. I want you to be happy, and I want to help you and your kid, that it should be good. But he looks at this as a hisnagus. Koshi, kasha, kokach kasha. He can't take off that tzura of what it was until now. So he's inflexible. He can't be makabel a different tzura. Now, the opposite of that is water. Water is makabel any tzura. Anything you put in the water is makabel. You could take a tiny little pebble, and you throw it into the water, and the water says, bar haba, bar haba. The water is makabel. Then you take a desk, a table, you put it into the ocean, and it says, bar haba, bar haba. The ocean is makabel. The ocean is not a misnagid. The water is not a misnagid. Whatever you put into the water, the water is makabel. You can't do that to a mountain. You can't do that to the earth. But when it comes to the ocean, when it comes to water, not misnagid. Is able to be makabel every tzur. Now, is you're a little granule of sand? I'm interested. What do you have to say? Come in. You're a mountain. You want to come into the ocean? Come in. The ocean is the biggest kli kibbul. It's not a kli, but it's makabel everything. Yitzadkach ein l'mayim dovish misnagil etzem. Therefore, the water never feels his nagdus, because fire. We'll talk about that with fire. But the water doesn't feel his nagdus because when there's no fire to dry it up. The water doesn't feel his nagdus as long as you let her be the water, the mayim. The water is makabel. The water is makabel every tzur, every tzur. There's no misnagdus. Hashiba oimek nefesh ha'odam, hamayim esakni misyisoid ha'afa. So in terms of the midas of a person, it's clear that somehow, which we're going to talk about next week, that somehow there's a way that's called hishtavus, mayim, that when you mix it into the afa, into the inflexibility, the koshi, you're going to be misakni. To make a person more flexible, not to be so hard. Hamayim misaknim if you saw the offer, they shem it star from the side of the offer. Yoitzim machluchis, you can make the dirt to offer moist. Mavatam is a kashius, you could be mavato, the harshness, the kashius, the edge. Shidi saw the offer, shuhayovish, which is its dryness. When I was in Los Angeles, I spoke someplace, and in that place there's a very well-known Talmud Chacham, a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, who I've met over the years, a very, very special person, and a big Talmud Chacham, but like a Welts Misnagid, like really, really, really Misnagid, to Chassidus and everything, but an exceptionally fine Talmud Chacham, and a refined person, a beautiful Midas. So he came over to me after I gave the shiur that I gave. He came over to me, and he showed me that every Erev Shabbos with his Talmidim now, he does a nigun with them. He does a nigun. I looked at him. I said, "What?" Yeah, every Erev Shabbos I try to teach them a new nigun, and we sing this nigun together to get ready for Shabbos. Like, there's the last person in the world that you would ever think that he would take off 30 seconds from the Gemara to learn with the Menigan to get ready for Shabbos. So I was smiling. He went out of his way to show me this. I was smiling because I want to hear no soul what's going on, because he knew that I was surprised by that. And he said, I've come to realize that what worked in the past does not work the same way anymore. And I just have to, I'm trying to understand the boys, what they need. And my sense is, I see this, that it helps them to in their growing and in their learning, it helps them. And I said to him, wow, that's some Moshe Shmuz you just gave. That's a great Moshe Shmuz. Because you love these guys so much, and you love Torah so much, and you love Hashem Shabbos so much, that you were able to step down from that mountain of who you are. Because Mitzad himself, this is all like, what do I need to do a nigun? Like, I'm just trying to give over the Gemara. He didn't hear the good from his rebbeim, and he doesn't, that's not his thing. But what he's saying is, it's not about my thing. I'm prepared to be paishet lahavshit tzura. I'm prepared to let go of my tzura to be makabel a different tzura. That's the hakish.
His goal is still the same.
Right. Because the underlying goal is teaching Torah to the Baruch Shalom's children. But now he was mafshit the external tzura of that straight old-fashioned, you know, like that type. And he took off that layer to with the nagunim and reaching the boys in this way. The hekesh, of course, is that I taught Torah before in a very, very compelling and successful way. And I'm teaching Torah now, Baruch Hashem, in a very successful and compelling way. But the way that I was able to do that is only by making a shift, by making a change. Lahavshit tzur. Lahavshit tzur. And you know, in a family, it could be just the opposite. Sometimes you'll have, I was talking about this way, it could be the other way, that there's a parent that is absolutely not, there's no discipline, it's total chaos. The kids don't have any tzur in their lives because this mother or this father, like, they're just, everything's hefka. And he has to be mafshit tzur to engage in some rulemaking and some, you know, just the other way. It's he needs to be a little bit more. So the union of water is that it makes the earth flexible. Now you can work with it. You could shape it. You could form it. That's what water does to the earth. It's mevatel the kashyus. V'yesal ken oimek tikun yisarofa yideh ha'mayim husha ha'mayim megalim tfisa shel hashvara. Through the water you can come to that underlying hekesh. Tashva, the equal, the similarity. Shel hashtavish, yahepech ha'gomer shel hisnagus, which is the opposite of hisnagus. My wife was pointing out to me, she was preparing for one of the shiurim here to the women, and she does like a lot of research, folks. When she gives a shiur, she puts like hours into looking at different things and angles. And so she was researching this thing. And she wanted to show me that there's a very famous person that I never heard of him before, but apparently he's very famous and has written some very chashuva books. Not Yisrael, not a Jew. His name is Jordan Peterson. Does that ring a bell? Okay. So this guy, this person is like a brilliant, brilliant teacher, or I think maybe a psychologist, and he's, I think, and my wife is telling me that he's a religious guy, he's a firm guy, not Jewish, he's a guy, and he has a tremendous, he has a tremendous koyach of like debating. So he is a conservative. He's very conservative, and the left wing is, you know, the. So, my wife wanted to show me this interesting interview that was on the Indian that she was nugget to the Indian that she was working on with the women. I think that's with Busha, that Indian, something. And she said, you have to see this. So I've learned Marek has very good taste. And she says, you have to see this. No, Lamazai. So this Peterson was talking, there was a feminist, a stark feminist that was interviewing him. It wasn't interviewing, it was like insulting and trying to destroy. It was horrible. This woman, horrible, how she was talking. And Peterson never for a second was this cool. I never saw anything like it. To meet this sort of person, he just answered. So the mzach, you know what that is? The Indian. And he said at one point, he said, honestly, it really doesn't make a difference how much you try to offend me. I that's not the point. I'm going to continue to make my point regardless of how knows you how disgusting you are. So he's just trying to offend me, to put me down. He said, that's how we're discussing the subject. And like it didn't get to him at all. And I said to him, this is something to watch. Like to meet the fistalis of a person. That doesn't mean that he melted into her opinion. He stuck with his opinion. But he wasn't a kasher, because if you're kasher, he would start to yell at her and start to fight and then you become low like that other person. He didn't. The whole time was totally calm. And so she kept on saying, you said, and he said, well, I'll tell you what I did say. I never said what you said, I said. But he didn't get like this. It was totally pleasant. I say this far from that. It's a midah tzaddikim to be like that. I my Rebbe Rav Dovid was like that. One thing, it's just like a midah hishtav. It's aim misnagdei love. Because that person is able to be mafshet the tzura, to understand that I'm dealing now with a lunatic. And I'm not going to accomplish anything by fighting. I'm not going to get my point across by fighting with this person. Not to this person, not to the people watching the show. I have to use my seichel, how to, but not to get, because if you're kasha, then she's up against you and you're a mountain, and you hit back. So midah v'shtav is tremendous midah. Aim l'chadavish misnagdei. You don't have to agree with everything, but even if you disagree, it doesn't cause you to lose your cool. You don't get all turned over. It's an amazing thing to watch when you see that. It's a midah tzaddikim, such something. And how the water works in that way, which is with the hamshacha. We'll continue with that next week. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everybody.